It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 449. With me, as always, is the one, the troller, the exploiter, the early adopter of ruining things for other people. Good stuff, Justin. This is great. The one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Thank you, Justin. You are tired.
I am very tired.
You are.
This coffee is helping, though. I'm drinking this. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Fake Coffee. Feels like syrup in your mouth, tastes like energy.
It's Coffee House Coffee. And what annoys me about why I purchased that is maybe 2 months ago, I saw it in the store. It's in your milk aisle, right next to like Silk and all those other things.
I like that phrase.
Yeah,
that's what they say. I'm a big fan of any of that. In your local grocer, in your this.
Yeah, because you wouldn't. You'd be like, where would I find that? In the biscuit aisle.
Yeah,
I don't know. We had
the biscuit. You mean my biscuit aisle?
That's right. In your biscuit aisle. Get out of my biscuit aisle. And I saw it there. I showed it to my wife while we were shopping. We both laughed. Ha ha ha. No one. Why would you want that? That's just stupid. And then there is this dumb ad, you've probably seen it, where the girl is in the store, and it's just like this long, solid shot from what looks like a security camera up above, and she's this woman's got too many things in her hand, one of which is a coffee that she just got from the barista, and she walks, and for some reason at this coffee house, they have those electronic sliding doors that grocery stores have.
It spills all over.
And she slams into it and the coffee everywhere, and then it goes, coffee house fail. And then it goes into that. So I was like, except the several times I saw that commercial, I was like, nah, okay, sure. That's very funny. What coffee shop has that? Whatever, I'm moving on. But the last time I saw that, they then do several shots of the coffee being poured in these glasses of ice again and again. And they're like, you don't need to go anywhere. It's right in your own home. What? Pour this box and get all the flavor of a coffee house without having to do all
these
things.
From your local milk aisle to your local refrigerator.
And I have my own personal espresso machine aisle in my kitchen. And so the idea of making my own coffee at home is, I'm the market for that. So I thought I'll try it. I purchased it, brought it home, poured it. I'm like, this is worse than ice cream in terms of sugar. Syrupier and thicker. And it's got like a cheap flavor to it. Mm-hmm. And I've had maybe four glasses.
And that's why they're here sponsoring this show. So if you want mediocre iced coffee, you want to feel awake but taste like you drank some kind of form of dirty chocolate milk, then try Coffee House Select Coffee in your local milk aisle.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when McDonald's decided to do coffee to try to get into Starbucks' business for whatever reason, which doesn't make sense. They were happy being dirty clowns in the gutter.
Stick to black people, McDonald's. Yeah, Am I right?
It's not the 80s anymore. You're not the most popular thing. Yeah. No, you were right.
I was. All right, good.
And, but their answer was to make milkshakes, to make sugar-laden junk. At least at Starbucks, you can get a coffee drink in it that doesn't like I've go in and ask, can I get any of these things without sugar in it? They're like, no.
Yeah.
It's a sugary pump that we jet into hot water as it comes out. That's not a coffee. That's a hot milkshake.
Yeah. And it's delicious. Yeah. I'm being the McDonald's employee.
No, I can tell.
Okay. Because
you spoke too much English for a McDonald's employee.
And it's delicious.
Yeah.
That was a combination of all the accents.
Do you want it or?
Listen, I get off in 5 minutes. That's unfair that I made it Hispanic. I just wanted to be a quiet teen. Although, surprising, I don't know if this is everywhere else, but I've noticed a lot less teenagers at the McDonald's, the local Mickey D's. I feel like there's a lot, maybe it's just LA. I'm going to pay attention now. Yeah.
Well,
you brought this to my attention, Kevin.
Open your eyes.
The investigative German. That's what this became. A conspiracy theory podcast. Open your eyes, everybody.
The truth is there.
It's there if you open your eyes and see it.
Be able to see what is unseen.
It's in your local ocular socket.
Aisle. Well, I was in a McDonald's over by your old home. I don't remember what I was getting. Maybe one of these sugary coffees for whatever reason. And I was standing there waiting patiently for my turn, and this guy, you know, I had already ordered, so I'm just standing there waiting for my drink or whatever it was. And this guy comes up. You probably remember the story. I may have even told this on the show, where he comes up and he's like, I don't know this dude at all. It's not like we were having a conversation. He just turns to me and goes, oh, they're all idiots. Pointing to the people behind the counter, he goes, they must have the combined IQ of 50. Gesturing.
I don't remember this story.
I don't know who this dude is. And I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, we were the only two white dudes in the place. And he had to be in his mid-40s. He was overweight. He wasn't like, Rascal Flatts rocking in there being like, why can't you get my order right?
I'm better than everyone.
Yeah, he was just a dude ordering food at McDonald's. And he turns to me, he's like, hey, they must have the combined IQ to 50. When my brain finally registered that, no, this is happening, which is probably, 2 seconds, but it felt like a long time. I went, I don't think that's very nice. Like, That's all I could muster up of like.
It's so uncomfortable.
I couldn't even let it slide.
And all you could think of is the obvious.
Like, I don't think that's very nice.
Wait a minute. You just were very rude in a casual situation.
Yeah. I mean, without like flaming the guy right back, I'm like, you're an ass. Yeah. Like, that's, I wish, I don't wish to get into a fist fight with a stranger. If he feels like verbally abusing people that we both don't know to somebody.
And you're the only one
that
heard, you think?
Oh, he told, no. He was telling me. Like, it was close as me to you. He just turned to me like
we
were buddies.
So it was just you and him talking.
Yeah. There was no one around us. They're all idiots. And the thing is, they were doing a fine job. It wasn't like he had waited for his food and was waiting 20 minutes. Then he would have a reason to gripe. He walked in the door and was like, these guys are idiots. What's wrong with that guy?
I can't imagine being that angry at life.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty angry person. I've got an edge to me. I bitch about my wife not refilling the ice cube trays. Sure. I'm not trying to sound all hypocritical.
But your wife knows that's you venting when you're really
I'm genuinely angry. Yeah, I'm genuinely angry at the lack of compassion that she is showing by acting like she is a 13-year-old child in what is supposed to be two adults sharing a domicile, raising children together. Yet I have the sole burden.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, it's a burden. It's nothing short of an attack on me that I have to fill 4 ice cubes. Not 2, Kevin. 4. Now, do you know why we have 4? Because we had 2, and I thought, well, if she learned that if you actually take all 4 of them, you could fill up the ice cube bin. No, she takes the top one, dumps it in, takes 2 or 3 ice cubes, and then what's her excuse? I only have a little bit of time. When I come home for lunch, I have to get back
that's
to
true.
Work.
But that's true.
Yeah, but a little bit of time. It's not like I'm not asking her to prepackage ice like the deli, at Subway. You know what I mean? I'm not pulling out a postage weight scale and saying, all right, now you are allowed 0.5 ounces of ice to in a single
just throw
serving.
Water in the tray.
Yeah.
How long do you think that would take?
I've timed it. That's how much. That's what it's like. It takes 1 minute for me to do it. 1 minute and 47 seconds.
That's a long time.
Right. But that's not a long, long time.
No, that's why does it take? We refill our own ice trays, and it probably takes me 30 seconds.
Well, maybe you should come over and help my wife out.
Why
teach her how to do it.
Why does it take you 1 minute and 47
seconds? The only thing I can think of is that the pressure I use is very low because we have the on-faucet Brita filter.
Oh.
So I can't turn it all the way up. And then so it's filtered water that I like to create a cascade effect. Much like coffee house coffee is poured over the ice that is not in my damn freezer.
It made me.
It slowly cascades from one to the next.
But isn't there a problem? I think you're tapping into Natalie's real reason. It's not that she doesn't have 1 minute and 47 seconds.
No, it's that she hates me.
No.
What?
Or that she even
whose
doesn't.
Whose side are you on? Yeah.
Not hers, sir. But
I see. It's because she hates our children.
Yes.
Got it.
No, my wife is guilty of this as well, and we've had to
ice cube tray?
No, not the ice cube. She's actually very good about the ice cube tray. You've seen our freezer. We had a housewarming party. We have no room in our freezer. She was filling up the ice trays and was trying to I'm like, where are you going to put that? We have 2 bags of ice in there.
I saw what Justin did to Natalie.
She just was like, oh, they're empty, so I was going to trade. She cares. She loves me.
Automatic. Oh,
No, but there's something about an emotional time that it takes involved. Like, let me finish before you tell me why this is wrong.
I will
wrong.
Turn my mic off.
Yeah, it'd be good. So that was my mic. I think you turned my mic off.
I bumped it, but
I bumped there it, but it is. I didn't mean to.
Okay. And I'm back. Okay, so it's not about the time that it takes to fill.
Okay? Okay, sorry.
It's not about the time that it takes to fill the ice cube tray. It's about the emotional transition between tasks. Because if she's coming home, I've only got 2 minutes to get some food out of the fridge. Then I need to get something to drink, so I'm going to pour her ice. This is all items in a checklist. I have to do this, this, and this. And then now, so I'm like, as soon as I'm done with getting this glass of water and this sandwich made, check, I can eat it, check, see the boys for 2 minutes, check, and then get back to work. Now, if you add, and even if it's more than that, 20 minutes, but if you add one additional check item in there, it doesn't matter how long it takes or how simple it is, it's that it's another item, it's another bite on the list. So
I don't disagree with that whole philosophy.
Yeah.
The problem that I have with it, though, is that what that says is that if that is your line of thinking and that is your action, that whatever it is I am doing is more important than whatever you need to do. So therefore, I delegate the task of refilling the ice cube trays to you, the lower peon who helps take care of my children while I am away. I don't know what she does at work. I'm assuming there's some kind of massages. There's a badminton game going on. I imagine them like reenacting a lot of Top Gun volleyball scenes. You know what I mean?
Probably.
You know,
shouldn't you be jealous if that was true?
I'm not jealous.
Okay.
Let me make that clear.
Okay.
I am not. I love my children. Yeah. I love being home with them every day.
Yeah.
I have evidently jumped podcasts again. Yeah. And this is not for this show. Yeah.
We need to copy paste into a different show. We have not talked about anything. No, but
I know, right? In all seriousness, though, I do think that's really where my issue is.
I think you're onto something. I can relate. In my office that I work at, I always change the Alhambra water thing, and I'm not.
Well, that's your job, though.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Every time. There are a dozen of us that work in this office. There are maybe four women. The women get a free write-off because they're very...
sexist SOB.
Yeah, then that's fine.
Because they're frail.
They're frail.
They're frail, they're little soft, curvy muscles. They can't pick up the little...
They don't have the upper body strength to lift these things.
You wouldn't like to let them use their hips to try and lift that thing? I'm stupid.
I think
I'm
you
sorry.
Need to see where I work. But there are many men that work there, and most of them, I'm probably the least physically fit of the men that work there.
Maybe that's why they make you do it.
I am.
They make you do it like Kevin. He needs to throw some steel.
He needs to
at
do
least
something.
Some H2O.
And every single time, it's not like I get because the water coolers aren't like they were 20 years ago. It retains water in there. Like, it holds it in there. It's doing all this magical stuff. So it's got stuff in there. It's always empty when, not every time, but I'm always the one to come up there and be like, this thing's on low.
Mother, yeah.
I could be, no one's going to do it. If I walk away from here, because there's the other thing, if you don't put water in it, it has that cooling mechanism, that heating mechanism, it'll break because it's trying to cool or heat something that isn't in there. So I know this. It's not even my machine, and I replace it. Why?
Well, let's
because I'm the peon.
Let's challenge ourselves. Let's see if we can bring this into video games.
Okay.
Because I am thinking about this. Actually ties into what we kind of plan to talk about, in that we've mentioned on the show that there is a little bit less. The community of video gaming has changed. It used to be that you and a sibling, or you and your block friends or school friends, would sit in a room over a weekend and pass the controller around every time somebody died, and that meant it was your turn next, and you would play a game as far
really
as you could.
Those are really sad. You're like, oh, Carter got hit by a car this morning. Pass the controller, bro. This one goes out for Carter.
I was so lost that it made me
really
laugh
sad.
At the thought of a 9-year-old getting killed by a car crash.
You said it.
When I was so happy that I figured out where you were going that I laughed at a kid dying. Real or not, it's real. It happens.
Carter was a real kid.
At least every 1 minute and 47 seconds, which is how long it takes to fill ice cube trays.
Every time you refill an ice cube tray, a 9-year-old named Carter gets hit by a car. Please make that a drop.
So there's that thing where it's like, what is the annoying thing that you always have to pick up the slack on in a game? Like, there has to be something, You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've had that feeling where it's like I have to be the one.
The slack of the developer or the slack of, like, team?
I like what I like that layer of the onion you just grew. But what I was more thinking is the idea of the communal, like... Like, for, oh, here's a good example. Like, in SOCOM, you know what I mean? Like, in SOCOM, there's 16 guys online playing for one team.
Sure.
And it's like, one of the things that used to frustrate me that I wish I had more of, like, a guild or whatever, a clan, that if you, everybody had a thing, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, if we just had, and then there's no real leadership. This is why the military is built the way it is. Because, funny thing, no matter if they're in their 30s, because I was on a group that was a bunch of people in their 30s. No, you know, quote-unquote kids to quote-unquote ruin it. but that they, so we would be playing, and everybody would just go and do, and it was, ever, so what would happen is you're only as good as your worst player.
Yeah.
But I always felt like we should sit down, but I didn't. I wasn't good enough.
Some Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, to kind of like, say, hey, what can you do? It's like, well, I know this area of the map, so what if we just pin down this section of the map, and that'll be my spot. Every time I will run to this spot.
Yeah, but see, that requires one of two things. Either a pre-production meeting with your team, which, as we know from Leroy Jenkins, ain't going to happen. Or two, you all have to be in the same room, right? Because I play a lot of these MMORPGs or the networking games, and it seems like everybody who's playing, even if they don't know what they're doing, is the smartest person who's ever played the game in their entire life. Like, I know.
I was playing Mod Nation Racers, and it was funny because the first game that I think it was their... I shouldn't give out their gamer tags, but I want to say Vincent was one of them.
You just say the first letter and then a bunch of stars and the last letter.
Got it.
That's it.
A, star, 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 D. And then the other one was...
You don't spend a lot of time on eBay, do you?
S, star, 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 star... Star, 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 S.
The act out that y'all can't see is the best part. Like, he's actually pretending to read it in the air.
Well, I wasn't pretending. I may have misspelled it. I might have threw a star in there every now and then. But so anyway, but I was playing with these two guys, and then they jumped in. And I forgot when I posted on the Facebook page, I said, hey, I'm going to play Mod Nation Razors. And I realized I may have gotten a lot of the fans excited because I'm supposed to put hyphen Kevin, or I mean Justin.
Yeah.
And so I just put it up there because I'm like, oh, maybe somebody will play. And I wanted to take advantage of the time where I didn't have to be a dad and I was going to play.
Yeah.
And people were like, yeah, I'm it. Well, oh, yeah. And they all got excited. But I was like, I don't think they know it's just Justin. Nah, but anyway.
I need to get that game.
So
I have it on the PSP.
So we played, and then the first thing like I heard was Sly star 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 star.
Did you say Sly star, yeah. Star star?
That's a little
star.
That's a little Easter egg that you don't have to look for.
Funny enough, if you remove those stars, you get the release date of the game.
What? Stupid nerd rage, suck it. But anyway, the first thing this kid is like, hey, Sly, I'm just so you know, I'm pretty much the best at this game. But
it was almost like
he was doing a bit. Like,
oh, okay.
I hope, although I'm sure he wasn't. But I just remember, like, and it's funny because I realized too. I didn't until I played the Mod Nation Racers that nobody has headsets really anymore. Or if they do, they don't use them.
Really?
And it's because of every idiot, you know, jackass that is on the game. Like, here's the thing. We're gonna change video gaming culture right now. it's going to happen. If you are, quote unquote, prepubescent and male, okay? And so whenever you speak, you could, I don't know, come just short of breaking glass because your voice is so high.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then what you don't do is you don't constantly talk at the top of your lungs into your headset, because what that does is that kills an entire industry. That means that headset sales are down. That means that people are jobless. That means that there are four other jobs that Chinese children cannot do at that time.
You're laying down prerequisites that they could care less about.
They will.
No, they will only care if you threaten to take away something that's destined to be released next month. It's the only reason that they care about anything. They don't even care about their own family. That kid that you just described is unconcerned
with
anything.
Well, that kid, usually that kid is a kid who's not getting hugged. You know what I mean? And then also, like, yeah, I talk for a living, but I, even on this show, I think I get a little blowhardy. I think it's a little funny.
By the way, I owe you $50.
Why is that?
Well, you're talking so much.
Hilarious. But I do that, so it's like, even like I do two podcasts, and it, there's a part, or part of me obviously says, well, I think I'm good at this, I think I'm compelling and la-di-da-di-da, but it's like, that's a little arrogant and narcissistic to think I am really good at talking about things that people want to hear.
No, it, you can say that, that's all right,
right?
But see,
because here's what my point
there's
is.
A difference between
there are people that just talk, they just talk and talk and
but
talk,
it doesn't translate
over a game headset.
Yeah, it doesn't translate. It, the skill of, and furthermore, I when I play with folks on Little Big Planet, if I don't have my headset, I hear every 2 minutes, are you gonna get your headset? Where's your headset?
Where's your headset?
Do you have a headset? No headset?
I was that guy,
you get
to
a headset
to all the A star 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 yeah, star yeah, D, yeah. But because I was like, what I want to talk to, what's the I can say it because I didn't give out his name. It was actually Vincent, the guy that I gave my Red Ring of Death Xbox to. Didn't have a headset. And it was hilarious because, and I'm so sorry that I already forgot the other guy's name. I only know his gamer tag, but, and I'm such a jerk for not knowing it. But anyway, because we were chatting up the whole time, having the time of our lives. I love our listeners. I love playing games with them because we were literally like talking trash to this guy because we thought it was funny that Vincent could only hear us through his TV and he couldn't talk back. And then we come to find out that he couldn't hear us because he had turned down the volume.
Nice.
TV, like he was just playing the game and like not even because
he
we
wins.
Were talking, but it was really funny stuff we were saying, and we were so amused with ourselves, and it would be essentially like doing this podcast and then checking our stats and having no one listen to
which has happened. But the skill of talking, this is a skill. Like, you have developed it. The skill of playing a video game, I'm sorry, but unless you are the very small, small percentage of professional gamers, the people that participate for money in competitions, which there are 9 of them that do that, you are not that great. Because here's why. It's a man-made thing. A developer created something for you to succeed at doing. It's not like any of it, any game. There's nothing that you're doing that you're like, oh, this is incredible. It doesn't matter if you are the number one scorer on some scoreboard that blows all the other ones away, because all you've done is succeeded doing what somebody else has set up for you to do.
Let's make a Kobayashi Maru game.
There it is.
Where there is no way to pass it and let some.
That was called QWOP. That was called QWOP.
I want to give one of those like Gears of War pros and let them watch them play QWOP.
So your initial question that sparked this was, who are the unsung heroes of video gaming, like of multiplayer?
Yeah, like who steps up and does it?
But what is happening? What the opposite is within our culture is that everyone sings out that they are the greatest hero. Because that's how games are designed, right? You're supposed to be the one making all the choices. Your hero is the most important hero of all the heroes that have played. So I don't think that there is a place or any part of the gaming culture where there is somebody that's like, that they're filling the ice cube tray without getting any recognition.
And I think that we could have that if we still did the passing the controller around, where it's like, it could be, oh, Kevin can get us past this part of the level. That's what he can do. So we're all sharing in this experience, but you know, you are the Brian Urlacher of our video gaming defense. You know what I mean? You're the one that is calling the plays, and like when push comes to shove, it's like, hand the controller to Mr. Miller. Mm-hmm. Let him work some mojo magic on that wonderful beast.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. So before anybody starts writing an email about how there's no difference between playing a professional sport, which is something a man invented that another man has to do, in a video game, if you play the professional sport, you have to use your own body. If you play a video game, you're only limited to the finite number of things that the character can do within the game. And the games are built for you to succeed.
Right. Because I love to play racing games, but one of the things that I've always frustrated with is that it's like, it's not really like driving a car. And I didn't realize this until we got a Wii, and I was teaching Jacob how to play Mario Kart, and it's hilarious. This is kind of what we want to talk about, but we might have to believe we only got 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that next time.
We'll go into more, but I'll just do this part then. We'll talk about the Wii next week or later. This blah blah blah.
That hurt my wee little head.
I know. He couldn't understand the concept of turning a steering wheel.
Well, and it's not a steering wheel. It's just a ring that you hold.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine if you gave him a thing that was attached
mounted,
to a thing.
Yeah, mounted
you,
to something.
You probably could turn it.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time with that. I'm like, I'm playing pretend, but the screen is playing with me.
Yes. And he kept doing the lean. Like, he would actually turn the car like he was ruddering a boat instead of driving a car. And it was frustrating for me because I'm like, stop leaning. Just turn the wheel. Like,
you know, he's not four yet.
You know, I know.
Okay.
And I didn't get mad at him.
Him down.
I did hurt him. And then guess who picked it up pretty quick? Funny when you cut the plug, the other end of the female plug off of an extension cord and plug it into the wall, and all of a sudden 120 volts with, I don't know, I'm guessing an 8-amp pull of current going through that. That's a strong motivator in the eyes of a 4-year-old.
Absolutely.
Almost 4-year-old.
I thought you were going to stuff him in the freezer with the ice cube tray.
No, he couldn't play the game from there. The controller wouldn't reach. Yeah. So that's but if I just hold that and he just hears the hum of the current next to his ear, and then I just tap it to the tip of his ear, then boom, he just snaps to attention.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. I think they should do that in schools.
Could you step over here?
Oh, I'm sorry for what?
Put your hands up, banjo. You have the right to remain.
But so he kept like doing it. He didn't understand it, and I was like, I almost want to take him out into the car and just let him drive around the block so that he can understand.
These are great ideas.
I know, right? I'm a very cool dad.
You know, they have video games that have these steering columns on them.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you could actually do it
Yeah,
like
but that costs $140.
No, it costs...
My van is already paid for.
It costs 50 cents at Round Table around the corner
from those
you.
Games. I see. I see. I thought you wanted me to buy a peripheral for him to play Mario Kart on. Because I did think of that where I was like, how could I mount it to where it would still pivot... I go, I'd have to have, like, prongs. I go, that would have to be a welding thing. And I was trying to think of, a broomstick-type thing that I could put it on, tape it to. And so that way I could hang on to it so he couldn't lean. It would just stay there. But I couldn't think of anything. I'm like, it would be easier just to take him in the van, have him sit on my lap, and then drive around a corner or two. And then he could get the idea of how to steer a car.
He's too small. He couldn't, to turn the wheel, it's the size of his whole torso.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you make things bigger, the motor functions bigger, then it would be easier, I would imagine. And then he can translate that down to the smaller wheel of the Wii.
Let's set this up.
I know.
Let's go to the Costco parking lot.
But was it for his little brother being such a baby?
I'll hold him while you go play Demolition Derby. Hell, I'll let him drive my car while you drive yours.
We'll race. Oh, yeah. We throw some banana peels at the back of this. We got a game going.
Those banana peels are huge in those games. Life size wise. Plus, we have to carve the top off of both of our cars so we can just see our heads flying around. We drive and then.
I think we've had to have mentioned this too, but I've noticed since I've gotten the Wii and started playing Super Mario Brothers, like the original game, the mileage that Nintendo has gotten out of these characters.
Yeah.
And not by just these characters. I mean, every bad guy, quote unquote, obstacle ever. The amount of just sheer repetitious use that they've gotten is worthy of its own award.
They said that that's intentional. They keep saying that at E3, you want us to make something that looks the same but is different. So they seem to feel like they are painted in a corner for whatever reason. I don't know. Try putting... Is that 28 minutes or 30?
That's 30. No, you're right, 28.
So I don't know. Let's see what would happen if Mario was in some other kind of adventure where it wasn't just hitting turtle shells and isn't...
Tennis?
Yeah, exactly. And isn't some other game that they borrow the license for? Because something like Luigi's Mansion, I'm sorry, folks. I don't know. I hope this doesn't break your hearts or make you learn something. But it's not like Nintendo went, you know what? Luigi needs his own game. Some developer came to them and said, we have this game where you hunt ghosts. What if we used Luigi as the title character?
They probably said, let's put Mario in that. And they're like, no, that's not working.
Possibly. It would all worked out. But it's not this concept that we get from the old studio system where everybody's sitting around a table going, what can we do with these characters these days? We got these actors over here that are just sitting in the corner.
Disney does that, though.
Yeah, no, they do not.
They're the ones who are still using that. They sign all of their actors are all signed to a contract with them as a studio.
Yeah, but that's a little, that's different.
So they sit around and they come up with ideas to use the third lead on one of their sitcoms into a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, but that's a little different.
And a franchise.
But But they're looking to build a machine. I'm talking about more in actual games.
It's a horror building machine.
Exactly. And even Disney, though, is... stealing other successful stuff from other places. Handy Manny. Handy Manny? Yeah. Fish Hooks? Come on.
Fish Hooks looks an awful lot like SpongeBob.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Handy Manny, I know that's what you're saying. Is Bob the
Bob
Builder.
The Builder. It's like, but I'm thinking.
Wizards of Handy Waverly Manny. Place. It's not like Wizards of Waverly Place came before Harry Potter.
No.
Or even at the same time. No.
Wouldn't you like to see them just do it, though? Wouldn't you like to just see them go, Mary Hotter?
I kind of feel they are. Because it started as Harry Potter.
Barry Cotter.
And then Twilight became popular, and they started doing more romance stories. I'm not kidding.
No, do you not know this? They Wizard have a vampire. They said something like, my babysitter's a vampire.
Yeah. No, I mean, on Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh.
It was like Harry Potter on the early days.
Yes.
Twilight becomes popular. Like, well, let's get some of that romance crap in here as well.
There's a lot of making out on Disney Channel now.
Yeah.
It's really weird to watch, like, and go, oh, here's a fun sitcom for my kid.
There's
so much sexual anxiety going on.
There's a ton.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched this
I
one.
Never thought those words would come out of my mouth, by the way.
There's some show that my TiVo always ends up on that when I turn on the TV, because I think it's grabbing Cusco right now. It's grabbing Emperor's New Groove. And so it just leaves it on there, and I've turned it on and watched these, like, seven teenagers do these whack. One of them's got a puppet that he brings around. And they're like, and one, they're trapped in a lumbago together, and they all get naked. Like, they're in their bathing suits, sweating, and all glistening. It's like these, you know, 14-year-old girls in their tank tops and bikinis. Yeah. And then there's one joke that I laughed at that came on where they were all sitting around a table together, and one of them goes, you know, and they're doing the standard, like, everybody's on one side of the table so the camera can be on this side of the table, normal sitcom crap. And the guy goes, why did we all decide to sit on this side of the table?
I made
that sound and turned the TV off.
You peaked. Yeah, exactly. And that's time.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that time, give us a call, 408-228-4911. Or you can send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. But please, no nerd rage. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't care about your release dates. I'm not really angry. I'm just doing a bit.
Reverse nerd rage. Reverse nerd rage.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. By the time you're hearing this, I think we have less than a week already to get 1,000.
Just a few days.
And at the time of this recording, we're well into the 800s. So we're going to do it, guys. We're going to do this, and we're going to keep that Facebook page alive. Otherwise, it's going to shut down, and that's just sad. So get your parents on there.
Actually, no, by the time this airs, if we don't have the 1,000 likes, it's gone.
Oh, well, it would be great if we did some pre-production.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No,
you're
right.
I was going to say, is this coming
up Friday? Yeah. This is it. Next time.
Yeah, next time we will know whether or not the Facebook page. But we won't know because we do pre-recording. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.